Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Whitey Gleason, Alan Stiles, moments away from Coach Kerr. We have him. Thank you, Mark Randy. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi, unbeatable internet, only from Xfinity. Coach, as always, thank you so much for your time. It's Whitey and Alan Stiles today. All things considered, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We're hearing from a lot of, you know, Warrior fans who are frustrated, of course, as I'm sure you and your staff have been. I have to ask, start, Coach, with the play in which Draymond turned his back on the ball, speaking of frustration, gave up on the play, failed to get back, although OKC failed to score. It seemed in a way like we were witnessing the opening of to see Draymond doing that, it was like a crack in the foundation of the team. Is that, Coach, in your estimation, is that an overreaction?
Well, it was one of several plays in the first half where I felt we were disconnected, and I think there's no question that it can't happen. Though, you know, you have to stay connected throughout every game. There's always going to be moments of frustration. There were a lot of moments of frustration in that game last night, and Draymond knows he was wrong. We talked about it at halftime. He knew he was wrong. He let his frustration get the best of him, and he came back out and competed and played well and played hard in the second half. And, you know, these things happen in the course of an 82-game season, and as long as they don't linger, you keep pushing forward.
You know, Coach, it feels like we've had this conversation before. Basically, anytime Steph goes out and he comes back and how it affects Jordan Poole. I'm just curious, is there a conversation that you've had, or are there conversations that you continue to have with Jordan Poole when Steph is out with injury and then comes back? If it's anything like, hey, you we know you need to be more aggressive here, or hey, we know you're going back to the bench, but you still need to do X, Y, and Z. Are those conversations that you're still working through with Jordan Poole being a young player?
Well, that's part of coaching, is having individual conversations with your players all the time. So I'm touching base with all of our guys, and Jordan is definitely one of them as a young player who's really talented and who's had a lot of success. But also has a lot of growth ahead of him, which is one of the things that's exciting about JP and where he may be a few years from now. So all of this for him, just like all young players, is part of the experience, of being in the NBA. There's ups and there's downs and there's adversity, and we've had a ton of adversity this year. Jordan has personally had plenty of it, and it's all about how you respond. But the thing that makes a season like this difficult is when you've got guys in and out and you've got stops and starts, is it's tough for individual players to find a comfort zone, find certain lineup combinations, certain roles, certain substitution patterns, because everything's kind of all over the place. And so it's tough on Jordan. It's tough on everybody. But, it's his job and it's everybody's job to just keep playing, because it's still the same job. You're still going out there and playing, and you got to make good plays continuously at both ends.
Steve Kerr with us on 95.7 The Game. This may not be fair, Coach, but I know after you went on the winning streak, Ron Adams was on TV and he was asked, what's going on with the defense? He said, the guys are just playing with more juice. Now, Jordan Poole, to me, in the last couple games coming off the bench, he doesn't seem, it's hard to say sitting at home, but doesn't seem to be playing with much juice. Is he having a hard time finding his way into the game as the sixth man? Is that an issue at all, or am I just way off on that?
No, I think you know, what I just said is definitely you know, a factor for Jordan. It's been tough for him to be in and out of the lineup, to have his rotation changed. But the same goes for Kuminga, the same goes for Looney, and the same goes for Dante. And, you know, you can go down the list. But what I've experienced in my NBA career, both as a player and as a coach, is, you know, when things go well and you have a good season, and you have consistency of health and good play, it's really easy for everybody to fall into a role. And when things are topsy-turvy and you go through adversity, roles change, and it's really hard to find your role and to fill your role when a season is really bumpy, and that's what I see this year. A lot of stops and starts, as I said, and changing lineups, and it just makes it difficult on a lot of guys. But that's the way it is, and you got to play through it.
Coach, you have one more game for this three-game road trip before you come back home. And I'm just curious, obviously, besides guys being in and out of the lineup, the roster doesn't necessarily change when you're home and on the road. Could any of this at this point be mental in terms of when you're on the road, just it's starting to now avalanche into something? Oh, we don't play well on the road, and then you play into that maybe mentally, or is it just a physical thing? What could it be?
Well, obviously, you know, we've been looking at this since the very beginning of the season. We started out 0-5 on our East Coast road trip, and that kind of put us behind the eight ball, and we've been swimming upstream, you know, ever since. I'm mixing my metaphors here, but you know, the slow start contributed to the road woes for sure. And the interesting thing is, when you look at the numbers, teams are just shooting the lights out against us from three on the road. And then when we get back to Chase, they don't shoot the three nearly as well. It's a dramatic difference. Last night felt like one of those games where, man, they were hitting everything. You know, I think at the end of the first quarter, you get the young guy, Jang, who hits a sidestep three from 26 feet at the buzzer. You know, he was shooting 25% from three going into the game. So you just don't expect that on the road, and yet it's happening. And so we have to look at it and say, all right, is that a fluke? I don't think it's a fluke. I think in general, teams are getting better shots against us on the road than we'll, you know, they're getting at home. So that's just about really fortifying your defense at the point of attack, you know, not having to make as many rotations, keeping the ball in front of you, you know, just making sure your opponent is getting lesser quality shots than what they're getting.
Yeah, coach, as fans, we talk a lot about rim protection. The best rim protectors, to me, have always been the guys that are able to keep the ball out of the paint in the first place. Mm-hmm. Last night, you didn't have enough of those. So does some of the three-point numbers other teams are enjoying, does it actually start at the point of attack, and that's where the defense is just not what you need it to be, actually on the ball at times?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. But, you know, you have to go into each game with a game plan based on who you're playing. And, you know, OKC is not a great three-point shooting team. They're decent, but not great. Our key going into the game was keeping them off the foul line and keeping them, you know, away from the paint. We just didn't want to give up transition layups and, you know, half-court layups and fouls. And the game, you know, despite the slow start for us, you know, we had a four-point lead in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So it really was the fouls in the third that got us. You know, I think they shot 14 or 16 free throws in the third quarter alone, and that just changed everything. So we got a little bit away from our game plan. With that said, watching the tape, I thought OKC played incredibly well. I thought they hit tough shots, and I thought we played well enough to win. And just like I did in L.A., I thought we played well enough to beat the Lakers, but we didn't do it. So I try to look at it big picture wise. You know, we won five in a row at home. We've played well enough to win the last two nights, but we didn't. So we've got to maintain our confidence and get back on the horse tomorrow.
Coach, there have been a lot of questions about the amount of threes that the team is taking and the types of threes that the team is taking. How important is shot selection when it comes to getting back and setting up your defense? All missed shots aren't created equally, so, you know, a bad three-point attempt, it can lead to offense or easy offense for your opponent.
For sure. I mean, you guys hear me talk about connecting the game all the time. You know, connecting the game, meaning you get a good shot on offense, you're going to be in good position defensively. And, you know, if you get a stop on defense, you're going to have a better chance to score in transition before the defense can get set up. So the game's got to connect, and that really starts with good possessions offensively, good shot selection. And there's no question we've had games where we've taken some wild threes, some difficult threes. I never look at the total. I don't really care what the total number of threes is per game. I look at the quality. If we're getting good looks for our good shooters, then the more the merrier. But there are times when bad ones are leading to bad defense.
Coach Kerr, as a player or as a coach, have you ever seen anything like what we have in the Western Conference this year with the standings so packed? Almost from top to bottom, where every day somebody loses a game, someone else wins, and everything's topsy-turvy. Have you ever seen anything like how compacted these standings are in the conference this year?
Never, never. And I think the play-in tournament has probably added to it. You know, you got more teams now that are going for it at the trade deadline, more teams that feel like they're alive, but still, even with that, you're talking about a three game difference in the loss column from, you know, 4 to 13, whatever it is. It's crazy. It can turn, everything can just flip in 48 hours depending on the results of a few games. So it's remarkable.
Coach, we're going to change the vibe here and talk about something positive. How good has Dante DiVincenzo been for this team? And did you expect this? We know he did some things in Milwaukee and he struggled with injury and some other things in Sacramento. How good has he been for the Warriors?
Dante's been great. What an addition, and really a good fit with our team because he's a ball mover. You know, he's really aggressive at both ends of the floor, excellent defender, and he just plays with energy. He's a competitor and a winner, and he fits with any lineup that we play. You know, he can handle the ball, he can play off the ball, and as I said, he moves it along. It's one of the reasons you know, he's been starting with Steph and Clay, because he'll get the ball moving side to side, which is the best way to take advantage of those two shooters. So Dante's been fantastic, and I'm thrilled for him because he'll be a free agent this summer, and he's put himself in a great position going forward.
You know, the great Gary St. Jean always says when he comes on the station, if you want to know what the Warrior offense is about, he says, two things, player movement, ball movement. And certainly Dante DiVincenzo has been all about that. That said, Coach, I've been a little surprised that the last two games, even with Steph back, still, you've had the slow starts offensively. I thought that, well, when Steph's back, those will take care of themselves there. Were you a little surprised in the last two games that, again, the slow starts have plagued your team?
Yeah, I was, you know, and it's one of the reasons we changed the lineup, you know, in the last couple of games. But it's tough to figure, especially given that we've got Steph and Clay in the backcourt, you know, two incredible shot makers, and the success that we've had with this group. It is surprising that we're getting off to these slow starts, so it's something we're looking at and trying to figure out if there's an answer to it, and we'll keep looking.
We appreciate it. And by the way, I know he's only played limited minutes here, but what have you thought of Andre Iguodala's return so far?
Well, Andre, it's he understands the game at a level that is so crucial for success. I mean, what he does at both ends, even though he's not really scoring, he's just he's connecting our shooters. He's getting the ball to the right people. And then defensively, he's a genius. I mean, he knows exactly what's happening. He's so long and athletic. Even, you know, at this age, he's still incredibly athletic. And he gets in front of somebody. That guy is generally not going to get around him, nor is he going to get a good shot over the top of him. So Andre's, he's still a hell of a player.
Coach, you face the Grizzlies tomorrow, and obviously there's been a lot going on with Ja Morant. And even last year, there were talks about the team not necessarily being better without Ja Morant, but they played really well when he wasn't on the floor. They've struggled a little bit with him being gone. They have lost three straight. But how do you keep the team focused and focused on the task at hand? Because this team can still be scary without Ja Morant.
Yeah, I think Tyus Jones is one of the best backup points in the league. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He's given us trouble in the past, and they obviously have got plenty of talent when you look at their roster with Bane and Brooks and Jackson and all these guys. So still a very formidable team, well-coached, a two-way team, you know, really good defensively, and they can get out and score. So we know it's going to be a tough game tomorrow, regardless of who's out there.
Looking forward to it. Best of luck to you the rest of the way, Coach. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Okay, you too. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr with us here on this Warrior Wednesday, 95.7 The Game. I tell you what, Alan, you mentioned the Grizzlies. I don't know if they ever scared me, but I don't have the same level of respect even for them that I had even last year.
Well, and then it came down earlier today, I believe, that Ja Morant is now going to miss four more games. So it's kind of spiraling for the Grizzlies so far. I was actually one of the people, Whitey, as everybody said, you know, the Grizzlies are done. The Warriors, they own them. They can get into their heads. We're not worried about the Grizzlies. I was somebody that thought, all right, I think this is starting to border on a little disrespectful to the Grizzlies. But as this thing continues to happen and they continue to lose games, and I know they're going to say the same thing. Hey, there's a lot of time left. We're just trying to get used to no Ja. This whole thing has been kind of rough on us. But it's not looking great for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. But again, if the Warriors can't take care of this, what's everybody going to say? Well, the Grizzlies are pretty good without Ja if the Warriors lose this game, too.
Did you see them at all last night against the Lakers?
A little bit.
In Sacramento going crazy because Memphis lost to the Kings are like second West.
Yeah.
Light the beam.
Yeah.
But the Grizzlies, you get them in the half court as the Lakers did late in the game. And when they're out in transition, they're as good as anybody. You get them in the half court, especially without Ja. And Dylan Brooks is just clank, clank, clank. Mm-hmm. And they have a hard time getting shots. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors have kind of the same type of defense they had for Russell Westbrook. They may have that for Dylan Brooks tomorrow. Like, go ahead. Yeah, everything you say about Durant, go ahead. Whatever you want. Shoot the ball. Because he can't shoot.
No, he's extremely streaky. And most of the time, the streak is not happening. But I would keep an eye on Jaren Jackson because this is what happens, Whitey. And, you know, I told Grandy I'm not playing Prize Picks anymore. I'm trying to stop. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get clean. I'm trying to stop my Prize Picks. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you this much. If there's somebody to always hammer when you're playing Prize Picks or any of these kind of niche apps, always hammer the forward that's above 6'8", 6'9", that's athletic, that the Warriors cannot handle. And Jaren Jackson, it could be Jaren Jackson. We saw Naz Reid. There's always somebody. Take the over. Jaren Jackson's probably going to ball out.
He's a really good player. He just gets in too much foul trouble. But anyway, that should be fun because of all the... Is it a rivalry in your estimation?
It is. Come on. It's more of a rivalry. People are trying to say that Suns-Mavs is a rivalry now. I mean, because of last year and now Luka and Booker getting into it. And Luka said everybody tough when they're up. And then Luka won. Look, we need more rivalries in the NBA. I think that's the problem with the East Coast. There's no Eastern Conference doesn't really have any rivalries. You can put the Mavs and Suns in the rivalry bucket. But number one, come on now.
Yeah, I know the Warriors and their fans like to say they haven't beaten the Warriors, so it's not a rivalry. But just the fact that they have your attention makes it a rivalry. And yeah, you've been pounding them and probably will continue to do so. But, mm-hmm. you know, that game tomorrow, it's again, for the Warriors, like, you got to win some of these games eventually.
You do.
You have to win some freaking games.
And that's my thing. If you can't beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are going to be a good team, by the way, they get Chet Holmgren back next year. They're going to have another top pick because they're not winning most of the games unless they play the Warriors.
I like Josh Giddey, too. I don't know about you.
I like Josh Giddey, but if you can't win these games against the Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't care if the Grizzlies don't have Ja or not, all of a sudden we're going to be sitting here, and I hope we don't, Whitey, but all of a sudden we're going to be sitting here, and man, those Grizzlies, they sure got hot last night.
What are
the chances? They just couldn't miss.
Dylan Brooks is not getting hot.
They just couldn't miss.
Dylan Brooks is not going like, it was 12 for 17. You never know. It is not going to happen. You have my personal guarantee on that.
All right.
888-957-9570. Kevin joins us from Pleasanton, 95.7 The Game. What's up, Kev? You're on with Alan Stiles, Whitey Gleason. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good job on the interview. It was funny, man. So I'm not a fan. I'm a coach. My son's a coach, D1 coach. My mom is a coach. So I'm just going to make a comment as a coach. Your questions were great. It seemed like you wanted to ask him so much more. So I commend you on a great interview. But I got to tell you, man, some of Steve's answers are so enabling, man, to Draymond. It's a joke. And if my child or any one of my athletes was on a team where a coach enabled a guy, another player, to get away with the crap that Draymond gets, I would pull my kid off the team. Because you're ruining the quorum of the other teammates to believe in the coach, because everyone's going, he's always going to side with Draymond. And it's just frustrating, man, as a coach, and then also putting on my fan hat to listen to what Steve Kerr keeps saying. But Steve's the smartest guy in the room, we all know that, and he's got pedigree because the guy's a winner. However, I just want everybody to know this. Steve has not brought any talent onto the team or developed any talent since he came onto the team. It's been the same three guys, and he's rode that horse all the way, and it's been wonderful. Except the guys are tired now, and he hasn't developed any of the young guys to play within his system. So that's all I have to say, guys. It's going to be a long season. If we get in the playoffs, then we'll do something, but it's going to be a long season next year as well if we keep playing this way.
All right, Kev, thank you for the kind words. Steve Kerr, you have to give him some credit for Kevon Looney, right?
Yeah, and let's not forget, they were winning. They're winning championships, so you're not getting lottery picks. And I get they do have them with Moody and Wiseman and Kuminga. Nobody's trying to make excuses for Steve Kerr. I more so want to focus on the Draymond Green comments. Because my question is this. If you're having a fight with your wife, or you're having a fight with your spouse, or your parents, whatever it is, you like to keep it in-house.
Right, and I'm sure Kevin as a coach understands that.
You like to keep it in-house. So Steve Kerr is not going to come on this show and say, oh yeah, I let Draymond have it. Now, whether he let Draymond have it or not, I have no clue. But if he did or if he didn't, he's not going to come on this show and say, yeah, Draymond's
in
the doghouse.
You're 100% right. He's not going to do that. Right, yeah.
So
he's not being a good coach if he does that.
Exactly.
So the question is, how really did he handle it? And we don't know. We have to take him at his word.
We don't know. And the other question would be, well, what should he do? You want Draymond benched for 4 or 5 games? That's the tough part about having these vets that are future Hall of Famers. They know when they mess up. So Steve Kerr doesn't really have to remind them. So does Steve Kerr have to say, hey, well, this is what you have to do in this situation? Oh, thanks, coach. I didn't know that I shouldn't do that. Draymond already knows. And I'm not saying there's not a better way to handle it. We don't know how it was handled.
Exactly.
We just know that this is what he said to us, and that's what he's supposed to say. Because if he didn't come on and say that, then there's going to be a different group of people saying, well, how could Steve throw his player under the bus like that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he would never do that. The question, the real issue is, how did he deal with it? We don't know, but we just have to draw our conclusion on that from the way the team responds. And it looks like the team understands all of that and to a degree accepts Draymond for what he is and his foibles, right? Because so I don't think it's an issue, but you're right. I think I heard someone else, maybe Guru was saying that Steve Kerr is never going to pass it. That was, you know, he did say there's just no excuse for that. But as far as publicly, you know, coming out and burying Draymond for what he did, that's never going to happen.
Now,
nor should it.
I will say, going back to the Jordan Poole thing, the way we figure out if it doesn't even necessarily mean that Jordan Poole or that Draymond Green, that Steve Kerr, you know, ripped him or whatever the case is. But if we see Draymond do that tomorrow night, or we see him do that in the next couple of games, something similar, then we can ask the question, okay, Steve, Draymond is doing this again. What was said? Or you see Jordan Poole continuing to do some of the things that he does. All right, Steve, we're seeing this thing happen. What is happening behind closed doors? Because clearly it's not improving. So we don't know, but that's also something where we're having a conversation. This has been the subject of probably every show today because Draymond doesn't do that a lot. He might yell at refs. He might yell at his own teammates.
He quit on his team.
He doesn't do that a lot. And that's why we're going to talk about it. But I don't think, I think because of that, Steve Kerr is not going to sit there and come in here, young man. And, you know, we need to talk for an hour on how you did something that you rarely do.
And it's just one of my pet peeves, this notion that Steve Kerr doesn't develop players. You could argue that they didn't do as good a job as they should have on this player or that player. But someone on the text line mentions, you know, GP2, look what he did when he was a Warrior. And we mentioned Looney and Poole to a degree.
Yeah, you can
look
put
how
Jordan Poole
Wiggins
in there.
Turned his career around. So just that whole notion that Kerr doesn't develop young players is just not true. I mean, and how about the guys that you mentioned, Alan, that they drafted when they didn't have very good draft picks? How many of those guys have gone on to shine in other places?
Not many.
I can't think of any.
Not many.
Shout out. And I'm not going to name them because we don't need to.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put a cap on your Eric all Pascal right. mentions.
You know, so that's you part know of what it is. I'm going to be honest with you.
Patrick McCaw is not all league, okay?
Three-time champ Patrick McCaw. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah,
the only reason I come at Eric Pascal, and if I have ever met him, I'll tell him to his face. The only reason is because he went to Villanova, I went to Temple, and that's really deep down what it is.
Wow.
That's what it is.
He was, I think, with the Warriors, I think he was second team all rookie in that horrible, horrible year when they're 15-50.
He was
second team all rookie.
He had what, and I don't play 2K, but anybody that does, when you hold, what is it, the B button too long, he would release that shot. It was right almost when it was on the way down. I mean, he really got to the apex of that jump.
888-957-9570. Susie in Minneapolis, 95.7 The Game. How are you, Susie?
My name is Sozy, so I'm from Sozy.
I apologize, Sozy. Yeah, my mistake. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I was listening to the coach, and my question is: people have been talking about Jordan Poole, and I'm not taking anything away from him. I like him and I respect him, and he's young and talented. But I think this is the first time Warriors has a player who's talented as Poole. Because they never had a young talent who can run the offense. Because people mention like the coach, he improved players like Looney or Gary Bay Jr. second, because those players, they only play good with the system, but Bull, he runs the all offensive in the second unit. And now it's time where I felt like they can't tell him what to do because we play ball movement, player movement, and it's hard for him because he keeps the ball way too long and he takes the shot whatever he wants. And now he's like, it's not like the rookies. They can't tell him, hey, play this way. And that's where Draymond Green and Bull is, I think.
Gotcha, Sozy. Thank you for the call. We'll address that coming up. It's Whitey Gleason, Alan Stiles. Also coming up, what is the path back to contention? Is there one? We'll see if we can figure out how the Warriors find their way back there. Coming up, we are sponsored by Bob's Discount Furniture.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here's a question for you. It's Whitey Gleason, Alan Stiles today on 95.7 The Game. Do you want to win two tickets to see the Warriors versus the Spurs March 31st? Do you? I like the Warriors in that one.
Yeah, I do. I do.
All you have to do is download the Odyssey app or listen at 957thegame.com. The longer you listen, the more chances you have to win. You get one entry for every hour you listen. Every hour you listen is another chance to win up to 8 entries per day. So download that Odyssey app now. Tickets courtesy of the Warriors. And as always, go to warriors.com for your tickets now. How long do you think Pop's going to continue to coach?
I don't know, but does nobody care? I know he doesn't care, but when we have this legacy conversation, what a weird ending for his career, right?
Depends if they hit the lottery jackpot or not.
Will he even still be around? Will he be around for that?
Well, that would be my guess, is that that's one of the things he's waiting for. If they get Wembanyama, then all of a sudden, hey, we're relevant again. Look at that. And if they don't, then maybe next year is when he goes, see you later. That was fun.
What if they get Scoot Henderson?
To me, he has a chance to be a really good player, but I mean, there's quite a drop off there.
Okay.
You had Wembanyama. You're relevant again. You got Scoot. That's a really good piece that would help you.
So you're saying
nothing against Scoot.
If Pop gets Scoot, just like you said, wow, that guy's gonna be really good.
Yeah.
That guy's gonna be a really good player.
Yes.
I wish you all the best of luck.
I don't know. Maybe. All right. Maybe
Scoot off into the sunset.
It possible that he actually enjoys what he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
How do you think how much do you think Steve Kerr's enjoying what he does these days? He sounded a little more, I won't say down, reserved today than he typically does.
Yeah, well, I think it was just hearing him say he thought the Warriors played the last two games well enough to win. That probably makes him feel better than us screaming at our televisions from our couches saying, come on, what are you doing? So if that's how he feels, that's great, but I know that he knows you can feel good about this stuff, but they got to translate to W's, and they got to translate to W's pretty soon. I'm fairly sure, Whitey, I saw 9 road games left and 7 home games.
Yes.
So you're going to have to start winning some on the road.
Right. So right now you're 6th. You technically have you're tied with Dallas, but they're 5th. You're 6th with the tiebreakers. So you're just a half game ahead of Minnesota for 7th. And I know everyone talks about the standings, but I have to look at them every so often because there's just every day it's something different. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors prospects just a few days ago, wow, 5th and looking good and now trending the wrong way and just on the precipice of that play-in again. Nobody wants any part of that.
No. And it went from, can we catch the Suns to, can we just please stay out of the play-in? And I think, I know, Whitey, I know. I'm not going to get duped again. If the Warriors, unless they go undefeated, I'm not getting duped again. Just in terms of just stay out of, all I care about is staying out of the play-in. I don't want to think about anything else. I'm not thinking about a 4 seed, anything like that. I'm just hoping that they can stay out of the play-in. That's my only goal as of right now.
Do you in some ways look at the Thunder, a team that's never won a championship unless you include their Seattle history? Is there some envy there? Because it's all ahead of them. And this Warrior thing.
Envy?
I'm asking.
No.
I didn't say there was. No. I'm asking.
No.
Because they got, as you said, Holmgren's coming back at some point. And you got Shea. And you got all these draft picks. And, you know, they've won 3 in a row. They've won 31 games. And the Warriors have 34.
Whitey, what are we doing? Come on.
I only asked you a question.
Absolutely not. The Warriors, they're trying to finish a back-to-back championship run here. They won it just last year. Steph Curry, yeah, he's been banged up and he's older, but he's he's 34 years old. You got Andrew Wiggins whenever he comes back.
Steph has a birthday coming up, you know.
Okay, well, he's going to be 35. I know you want to get Andrew Wiggins you want to get Jordan Poole out on Jet Suite X, get him out of the country. I know you do. I know you do.
You agreed with me that if you could get something that you thought would improve the team, you'd be willing to move him.
If
that's what I said, that's what you said. How am I the bad guy?
Because I don't necessarily want to move him, and you came into the show, and that was what you want. Alan, we got to talk about getting this guy on a plane. I'll pack his bags. I'll pack him.
888-957-9570. That's not entirely true. Xfinity Mobile text line. Dave's in Piedmont. He joins us on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dave, what's your idea? How do the Warriors get back on track here?
Hey, guys, appreciate it. You know, there's a lot of talk about Draymond being on his way out. And, you know, he is older, but he's having a good year, and his chemistry with Curry is irreplaceable. So I look at it as the maybe an opportunity to sell high on Wiggins. Independent of his last absence, you know, he's had some injuries. He's had some kind of kooky stuff with the vaccine where he wouldn't risk playing. Use some of that money. Keep the chemistry with Draymond. I also think that when you look at the roster, the young guys coming up, like Kuminga, they could possibly fill some of that Wiggins role. I don't think there's anybody that's going to fill that Draymond role with the chemistry with Curry. So that's an idea, at least.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate the idea. Draymond, of course, has the option. I mean, if he opts in, you could still trade him, I guess, if he's amenable to that. But I don't, you know, trading Wiggins when his value is high, that ship has sailed, because right now, with everything going on, and hopefully he's fine, his value just wouldn't be very high right now, because aside from all the personal issues, he's been hurt a lot this year.
It's a no for me, dog. It's a no for me. Shout out Randy Jackson. It's a no for me. And I get the idea of it, but to be completely honest with you, Wiggins, he did take a pay cut, so that is something where he's not making maybe as much as a lot of people that could be as important to a team like him are making. But I think it's a good point what you say, Whitey, how this was a tough year for him. I don't think this is a year that somebody would say, well, because of this, I don't want Andrew Wiggins. But I do think because of this, somebody could say, one, was this a fluke, or was last year a fluke from Andrew Wiggins? Or two, is Andrew Wiggins another version of Kevon Looney, where he looks really good with the Warriors because it's a really good fit? Mm. And I don't know how other teams value Andrew Wiggins.
I just think he's still a really good fit on this team, assuming health. And last year he was phenomenal, as we all know, in the postseason. The dunk on Luka. See, I don't like Luka. That was tremendous. And just the level at which he defended. This year, maybe he's one of those guys for whom it's hard to, man, I just won a championship. That was the ultimate experience of my career. Maybe he's had a hard time getting going again. He hadn't played terribly, but of course he's been hurt. So I'm with you. When I look at this team and I look at things that I would want to do, where I can upgrade, I don't see him as a red flag at all.
I don't. It's just an unfortunate year, and we still don't know what's going on. I am in on this, though, Whitey, and tell me where you're at. I am in on...
Oh, I will.
I am in on whenever Andrew Wiggins comes back to have the conversation about Andrew Wiggins coming off the bench.
Hmm.
Because we have no clue if he's working out right now. We have no clue what's going on.
So not like a punitive thing, but just depending on what kind of condition he's in, game shape? Is that what you're talking about?
Sure, yeah, but
sure.
When initially, when I had that take, the Warriors were on a 5-game win streak. If they keep doing this, then when Andrew Wiggins gets in, you need to get on in there because you just need to play. But I was of the mindset of, okay, well, if the Warriors keep rolling and Andrew Wiggins hasn't been playing, not to mess up the chemistry, and Andrew Wiggins is a guy that you can kind of just fit in and fit out, that would be fine. But now that they're losing, you probably need to get Wiggins in there.
Well, we were asking the question, how do they get back? And I know Steiny addressed that today. Please don't tell him I said this. I think he's 100% right. But he said, look, if the Warriors are going to contend, there's no guarantee they will. If these things happen, that doesn't mean they will. But if they're going to have a chance to, they're going to need for Peyton to come back and play like he did last year. And they're going to need Wiggins to come back and play well, because both those guys improve you defensively on top of everything else they provide. And that still is the number one issue for this team. If they don't have that, then who knows? But they probably don't have a realistic shot at achieving anything in the playoffs should they get there.
No. And the GP2 piece of it, you would love to have him, but think about it like this. Even when you get GP2 back, now you need him to ramp up. All these guys need to ramp up. And
you're
if it's the guy that was trying to get at me on Twitter last night talking about bringing, having Wiggins and having GP2, these are humans. This is not 2K.
I agree with
you. Okay, you're not just going to drop them in and they're going to be exactly what they were before injury or before missing time. So you only got 16 games left. And there's no timeline for either of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost a pipe dream to me that these guys are going to come back and be what we need them to be in time. Maybe by the second round of the playoffs, or maybe by game four or five of the playoffs, but that's still if they come in now. We still don't know when they're coming in.
Let me pose two questions for you. You can answer whichever one you want, of course. One, is it unfair to judge the Warriors as harshly as we are judging them right now because Wiggins hasn't played in a long time and he's really important to what they do? Two, is this what the end looks like and we just don't realize it yet?
I think...
Which one do you want to go? You can answer both.
I'll answer both.
Okay.
Number one, I say no because I didn't get to catch what... Guru probably knows, but I didn't get to catch the line of the Thunder versus the Warriors last night in terms of Vegas because the Warriors should have won that game. I don't want to hear that about...
Oh, okay.
I don't want to hear that about Andrew Wiggins for that game.
Wiggins or not, all right.
I really don't want to even hear it about the Laker game, but we understand. We don't understand, but we understand in terms of this is probably what happened.
Okay.
With it being Draymond's birthday and they're in LA, things like that. So I don't want to hear that about Wiggins for those losses. Now, to your second question about is this the end?
Is this what the end looks like? And we just haven't really processed that yet.
Probably, but it's not the end until it's over. Right, until somebody takes down the Warriors in the Western Conference and they don't even get to a final, here's a question back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it over if they lose in the Western Conference Finals? Would you consider that over?
It would be a fine season. It could be over, just depends what they do next year and beyond. So yeah, it could be the beginning of the end of the dynasty, whatever you want to call it. But if they got to the Conference Finals, to me, that would mean they had a really successful season overall.
Yeah, I think to me, the only question of is this over is if they don't even get to the Western Conference Final. If they get bounced in the first or second round, then I think it's time to have that conversation. If they lose in the finals, I wouldn't have it. And if they lose in the Western Conference Finals, I wouldn't have it either. Specifically, if they lost to a team that just got put together, you know, like a Pokemon combo card, right? if they lose to the Phoenix Suns, that's who I'm talking about, is that Pokemon card.
Yeah.
If they lose to the Phoenix Suns, then I'm definitely saying, okay, you just need to come back, you need to re-up, you need to figure out a way to combat those guys.
Do you have any of those? Because they're pretty valuable, some of them.
I do.
Do
I
you? Do.
Yeah, I got, wow. I got a Charizard, I got a Blastoise.
Wow.
But I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with them.
I'll give you $5 for the whole lot of them.
That's never going to happen.
Oh, well, you don't know what to do with them. I'm trying to help you out.
I got to do some Googling, but I got some good ones.
Good. They're in good condition. Ones. That's the main thing.
They are.
Okay.
They are. Same binder they've been in since fourth grade.
You may actually, I don't know much about that. I know about basketball cards and things, but I know Pokemon. I know some people have made some jack off of that. So good luck to you.
Well, there you go.
I do think it's unfair to assume that the Warriors, even without Wiggins, they should be winning these games. How? Look, they got DiVincenzo starting. Well, he's starting at forward, technically, if you look at the box score. But, of course, Klay's playing forward. I mean, and they don't really have a center. They really need Wiggins. And I'm not suggesting that he is derelict in any way for not being here. I'm sure whatever's going on, yes, I hope everything works out fine. And that's more important than basketball. But they miss him. He's really good. And they're not that talented a roster where they can play this length of time without a guy like Wiggins, their most talented wing, and not miss him.
Yeah, and it could be that simple. It could be that simple, not having him. I think the reason it doesn't feel that simple is because when he did come back after the injury and the illness, he didn't look great.
True.
So now, if he had been doing what he was doing at the beginning of the season, which is crazy because everybody talks about the three-point percentage for Andrew Wiggins and how it was the highest in his career at the beginning of the season, but they weren't winning games, Whitey. They weren't winning games even when Andrew Wiggins was balling before injury. So the whole thing has been off all season long. But they do really miss Andrew Wiggins. I'm just not willing to say it's that simple.
The scary thing to me is, another scary thing, is that we saw this season before, and it was 2 years ago, and it was the year, the play-in year. And I know Klay, they didn't have Klay, but I remember the same type of thing where they can't get three games, they can't win three games in a row, they don't lose three games in a row. It was like a lot of the same stuff, up and down and up and down. It was 2 years ago, then last year they won the championship, and then this year again, up and down and up and down. And you have to wonder if in the future we're going to look at these Warriors and say, last year was like, wow, how did they do that? Maybe they're really closer to that team. Right now, what they are is closer to that play-in team that lost those two play-in games.
And I'm going to keep saying it. I'm just really glad the Warriors got that championship last year.
Amazing.
I also think that, you know, if you're a Warriors fan, ask yourself how surprised you were when the Warriors did win last season. I was pretty darn surprised. And even with how well they played throughout the season, I was pretty surprised. So if you were surprised, and now they try to come back a year older with a shorter offseason, with losing some of that, you got GP2 back, but he's not on the court. But and then you also lose Otto Porter Jr., B Elites. It's just not the same team. So if you were surprised last season and you don't know if they're as good as they were last season, this season, should you truly be surprised just based on those facts and not, well, you have a, they just won last year. We look at it in the positive side of, well, they just won last year. Why can't they do it again? Maybe it's time to look at it in the other way of, well, they just won last year and we were kind of surprised.
Yeah.
So they're not, you talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder and how, well, you can't go any further down than they are
you
now.
You said you envy them.
No, I did not. You said that.
I said you envy them.
Yeah. That they are on the way up.
Yes.
The Warriors are at the top, so they're either going to stay at the top or they're going to go down. That's just what it is.
On the text line here, text of the day nominee from the 510. My six-year-old says you've got valuable cards. He never pays attention when I listen to you guys, but he heard you talking about Pokemon. So there you go.
Wow, I got something to do this weekend.
Yeah.
There you go. 510, if he knows where to go, tell me where to go trade them in.
888-957-9570. Ray joins us from the East Bay. Wants to talk about the Dubs, 95.7 The Game. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
You know, real quick, well, I hope I'm quick. Listen, the Warriors are in this incredible, you know, we've been talking about it all week and all this if and when, right? If these players come back, we should look like this. When the playoff starts, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. It's all if and when. And I just wanted to, all Warrior Nation, everyone, they've earned it. They've gave us the best run and any basketball team can give you. They've earned the chance to, it's over when it's over. Not, you know, mid-season, not at the close to the end. If we go fishing in the first round and we get swept, then we can talk about rebuilding. We can talk about playing these youngsters, you know, minutes and losing. Steph Curry and the rest of the group have earned every if and when till the end of the, till they're out of breath and done. We can't talk about what they should have did and what they didn't do, what Kerr is not doing. They've given us so much. And as soon as we lose that and pretend like, oh, they're just doing all this wrong, you forget everything like you just said. Look what they did last year. Surprised everybody. So I'm going to ride with them and watch them suck until they are done, until this thing is buried. And no more what they can't do and what they haven't done. I've been a Warrior fan for 40 years. So what they've done this for the last 10 years, thank you, and I will wait till it's over before I even consider saying anything negative about this squad.
Thank you, Ray. It was nice.
Wow.
Yeah. And it is funny, too. We're talking about the Warriors. Are they dead? You know, they're 34 and 32, and there's some cities in the NBA that most years they would kill for a year like that. But it's funny, to the point you just made about how surprising that was last year. I remember Draymond, after they won the championship, talking about, oh, there's a lot of people that said we couldn't do it. And I was thinking, Draymond, I think you were one of those people. Because I remember him saying, we can't win a championship this way with the young guys. Last year, I'm talking about last year.
Yeah.
And I think even Steve Kerr and or Bob Myers were saying, you know, did you guys think you'd win? And they're like, we didn't think
no.
So even they were really surprised that they did it last year. Obviously, they did it to their credit. Flags fly forever. But that was a stunner what they did last year.
It really was. It really was. And people get upset when you say that there is luck involved in anything. Because, no, I worked hard for this. But to win a championship, I think that a lot of things do have to fall the right way. And last year, the Warriors did their thing. But some things fell the right way as well. I think both things can be true. That's not to take anything from the Warriors. A lot has to go well. We look at the other teams and really every pro sport. The chips have to fall in your way in order to win a championship. And then you have to take advantage of your opportunities. This year, Kevin Durant got traded to the Phoenix Suns. Okay.
What?
That's a big deal.
I must have missed that.
It's such a big deal that we don't talk about Kyrie with Luka. That's how big of a deal it is. So I understand what the caller is saying, and everybody everybody, East Bay Ray, everybody, I think, feels like that deep down, but you express it differently. And when you're in the throes of it, you just want more. You want another championship because you know that once Steph Curry and once Draymond Green and once Klay Thompson, once they are gone, whatever version two of this is not going to look like what we've had really this past decade. So we understand that, but when we're in, when we're watching the season, where we're going through and enjoying the ups and downs, yeah, we're going to have some negative things to say. But I don't think it's anybody giving up on the squad. What are we going to do? Be a Clippers fan or a Kings fan? Now, I will say, are there some Kings fans out there?
Good time to jump on that bandwagon. No,
you
know,
and that's what I was going to say. Are there any Kings fans out there? And you can call them out, Warriors fans. Any Kings fans out there that maybe we're Warrior fans these last couple years and all of a sudden you see them brush off a Kings jersey? I know they're out there.
I don't know about that. It's funny what Ray said about, you know, staying with it. I'm going to stick with it till it's dead and buried. There's an old saying from Bill Walsh, which I think he got from like Branch Rickey, and that is that you're better off trading somebody in pro sports a year too early than a year too late.
Mm.
But I don't think, in my experience, that doesn't apply to the NBA. Because in the NBA, those special, special guys like a Steph, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Jordan, they're few and far between. To me, when you do have one of those guys, you hang on to them until they're totally spent. Because you can't replace them.
Whitey, there's no question. I mean, you're talking about trading Steph Curry.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that when it comes to those guys, and it applies to a degree to Klay and Draymond, although Draymond could opt out. In other sports, you know, when a team starts to approach the due date or the expiration date, time to move guys. In the NBA, I think you got to hang on to those guys.
Unless.
As long as you can.
According to Whitey, unless it's Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole's nowhere near as good as those guys. He's not one of those guys, Alan. Nice try. Coming up, Alan has a football question. That'll be interesting. We continue to take your calls on text. Xfinity Mobile text line 888-957-9570. Got to get back to Draymond, too, what he did last night and how it's inexcusable. This is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name since 1922. Visit Friedman'sAppliance.com today. And we are presented by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.